get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Pete.
I'm Molly.
And we are going to talk about the Hallmark Christmas movie, A Picture.
Picture a Perfect Christmas.
Picture a Perfect Christmas?
Yeah, because when I was like trying to find out things about it, there's a lot of... It's the only Picture a Perfect Christmas, but there's also like Picture Perfect Christmas.
That I wrote down in my notes, the first thing I wrote, A Picture Perfect Christmas. So
wait,
I even got the title wrong on this movie.
Let me make sure it's right. Well, there's a lot... There's other movies that have similar titles. Picture a Perfect Christmas. What does that mean? Like, Picture a Perfect Christmas means like think about a perfect Christmas, but then also like she's a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And Picture Perfect Christmas, I think, means like it looks perfect, but it's not really.
Oh, that would be more for the Movies and Mystery channel.
Yes. Which, by the way, let me follow up to, was that last, this is only the second one we've done.
Mm-hmm.
The one we did last week with the two turtle doves. I saw another movie from, with Nikki DeLoach, who was the star of that. So we had said that like she was in Christmastown or Christmasland. Christmasland?
Christmasland.
We're off to a good start. And had a very similar plot to Two Turtle Doves about a grandmother dying, her inheriting something and learning how to love Christmas or whatever. The one she was in last year is called Reunited at Christmas, and it's the same thing. It's that her grandmother dies and they're going to sell her house and the family gets together at the house for one last time. She only makes dead grandmother selling the house Christmas movies.
That's right in her wheelhouse. And at some point, though, all Hallmark movies are about a grandmother dying.
Yeah, but it's all, or, and I actually think Lacey Chabert has been in two that are about being in a gingerbread competition. So, but you think like give Nikki DeLoach one gingerbread competition,
yeah,
give Lacey Chabert one dead grandmother, let's mix it up a little bit, and so they're just the same.
When you have three ideas and 475 movies, there are going to be some that are going to overlap.
Well, I just picture it being like they have a hat with some like actors in it, names of actors, and then they have a hat with, or like one of those, oh, it's like the lottery, like the lot, do they still do that with like the on Channel 9 when they do like the lottery thing? That's what it is, like a ball comes down and it's like Michael Ratty, and then a ball comes down and it's the steel mill is closing at Christmas or whatever, and then a ball comes down and the hotelier's daughter comes back from the city, right, and they put it all together. Is that how it works?
I think it may. It seems like it does.
Anyway, so we'll talk about
that in a bit, but first we have to update you on what do we have to update on.
The exciting things that happen in our lives.
Nothing really exciting happens. Well, something very exciting happened.
New development.
Hold on. That is me currently enjoying a bubbly. Because you get mad at me when I drink Diet Coke.
Well, I just think, I don't like the word get mad. I just get frustrated because I think you can give it up and you don't think you can.
And I don't think I can either, as evidenced by every time that I go to Target by myself, I buy
I find Diet Coke in like the little cans pushed in the back of the refrigerator, like behind things.
I kind of put, I put things in front of it and I put another can of something next to it. So you just think, oh, that's just another one of those LaCroix cans. But
mm-hmm.
But we went to Target.
My mom, who we've talked about, has given up Diet Coke, and she was like, I can't believe she gave up Diet Coke. She suggested that you try bubbly.
Mm-hmm. And we were in Target, and I somehow managed to find the bubbly aisle.
Uh-huh.
And right away, stricken with indecision, because there are so many to choose from.
Uh-huh.
And you were looking for something else, so I couldn't move, so I just texted you. I'm like, there's bubbly, what do I like? Do I like lime? Do I like mango? Like what should I try?
Uh-huh.
And you're like, I'll be right there. And we I decided on the cherry bubbly.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Yeah, good. It is good.
I don't know if it could replace a Diet Coke, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed one little tiny Diet Coke while I was watching the Bears game.
Oh, you cheated on the bubbly.
It just didn't sound good to have with the pretzels and mustard.
So you're going to ease into it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see. I have six Diet Cokes, well, five left. I'm going to see if that can take me to Christmas.
Okay. That's a really good goal.
I promise I won't replace it with another one unbeknownst to you and pretend like it's the same six pack. I will be honest about it.
Like if your fish died, my fish died and you replaced it. I went to the dentist on Friday and I went for like 35 years without having a cavity. And then now every time I go, I have cavities and I have like one really big one. I have to go back like two more times to get cavities filled and I have five cavities. And he's like, I can't figure out why you're so prone to decay. Mm-hmm. He's trying to figure out. And so we're talking about like all these, you know, everything, every habit that I have. And he asked me about what I drink all day. And so I'm trying to figure that out. And
because you don't drink anything bad. You don't drink sodas.
No, I don't have sugar.
You strictly drink two cups of coffee.
Yeah. And he's like, don't sip them throughout the day. Just drink them fast and be done with it. He's like, the sipping is what really does a number on your teeth. I have to use prescription toothpaste now. Whatever. I'll do everything it takes to halt the decay. So
is the prescription toothpaste better than the Whole Foods toothpaste that we went through like a couple of weeks ago?
The Dr. Bronner's. Whatever. Maybe because I used the Dr. Bronner's for a week that it like totally ruined my teeth.
Because that's not even toothpaste. It comes out like all runny on your toothbrush. And then you brush like once and it's all gone.
But it's sustainable.
It's terrible.
So now I'm really trying to figure out like what is causing, what am I like, what habit do I have? What am I taking in a lot of that would...
Do you have to keep a log?
That's kind of next level. Like if just by making a couple of changes, like one thing he wants me to do is chew gum after every meal, which I hate gum. I think it's like seeing people chew gum really grosses me out. I don't like chewing gum because I feel like I'm grossing somebody else out. And so I have to chew gum for just like a few minutes after meals. Mm-hmm. Now I've done it once so far. And so we're gonna try just a couple of little things, and then if that doesn't work, there's next level stuff to do. But
it's amazing to think about that people sip coffee all day long.
Well, you know, we have those like travel coffee mugs that we always like joke about how the coffee stays hot for like 12 hours or 12. Maybe even more.
Yeah, 3 days.
When I have that, I'll just like sip it throughout the day. But that's very rare that I have that.
Because I just have my typical 12 cups in the morning, and then I'm done.
Well,
after
that's done sipping after throughout the day. It's just sipping multiple.
But I'm done by 11 a.m.
So drink fast. He thinks I'm taking in too much acid. And like a lot of the things that he was suggesting that I do, like I had a few years ago, it was the day after the Cubs won the World Series, I went and had an endoscopy because I was having stomach issues. And so what we learned from that is I needed to make some dietary changes. And like a lot of the things that I changed are the things that I don't know, like now he like wanted me to do. I'm like, I don't know how to win this. My teeth versus my stomach.
This is also a warning to those who need any type of hospital visit or doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. Do not schedule it the next morning after a Cubs win the World Series.
I think we'll be good for 100 years. I don't think anybody listening right now is going to run into this.
Because I just remember we had to be there like at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
The Cubs had won the night before, and all the doctors and nurses and caregivers were talking about how tired they were. I was like, no, you're working on my wife here in like 5 minutes. You had to go to bed at 9 o'clock and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, not talk about how tired you are because you stayed up late.
The other part of that is that the whole thing leading up to the World Series was really fun, but now I have like sullied memories of after them winning, because that was fun. To go to the hospital wasn't like the procedure wasn't that bad, but I didn't feel good for a few days afterwards. And then I like went with you to the parade and I was so like fatigued and uncomfortable and just didn't feel good there. And there were so many people and you couldn't see anything and you were like stressed out about like doing stuff for work it, and it was like a really bad day. I have bad feelings about it.
I just choose to think about the day that the Cubs won, and then everything else is I don't think about.
All right, we don't need to update people about the Cubs winning in 2016. Okay, so bubbly. So speaking of hospitals, our dog Zuzu had knee surgery yesterday, and she's torn, so this is her third knee surgery. Mm-hmm. She's torn both ACLs. That's a major surgery and recuperation. Major, like major. This is minor compared to that. The only thing that's big about this is she's got a lot of... He ended up, because it was, as he said, her meniscus was shredded. Yeah. He ended up going in more than he had originally anticipated, cleaning up more. So she has more stitches than she was going to. And so now it's, and the stitches are on her knee. So now it's just a matter of keeping her from tearing those open.
Yeah.
Like the recuperation won't be... It's not like she has to do a lot of physical therapy or anything. It's just like keeping it all together.
Yeah, she's still, you know, she can't really have her go up steps right now. And so you have to carry her down to go to the bathroom.
She shouldn't be like jumping up stuff.
Yeah.
Until it like solidifies a bit more.
After the Bears game, Bears games are over, I switched to CLTV because they have two really old grumpy guys come on and complain about today. We're recording this on Sunday after the Bears had beat the Lions. They
were so mad.
Hamp and OB were still so angry about it.
But it was like an, like usually their anger is a 10. But today was like an 8. But still angry, but not quite as angry.
But Zuzu's favorite personality is Hamp, Dan Hampton, who also had multiple knee surgeries.
Oh yeah.
In his career. So I feel that, you know, because Zuzu is a
Hamp.
Fan she's a fan of Hampton, she can commiserate with you know, some knee surgeries. But she's doing okay, and she should be.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
She'll be fine.
Yeah, we've been through worse. We also on Friday we went to Reckless Records to an in-store performance. Alex Cameron, he was signing. He was very charming. It was really fun to go to the in-store. Like maybe more fun than actually seeing the concert. Just we've seen him in concert before, but just because he was so casual, it was really cold. There was just a small group there. He told a lot of stories,
yeah.
And I mean, I feel like he always tells a lot of stories,
yeah.
But.
Charming.
Yeah, it was sort of like he was having like a conversation with the audience. But he was doing like a record signing afterwards, and I had met you there after work, and we were like, oh, like that I should have brought, we have a couple of his records, like, oh, I should have brought those records to have him sign. And then we're like, no, that's probably good. Like, it just seems embarrassing to get things signed. It just seems like weird to like say something, like, what do you say? And then like, you just have it signed. Like, what is, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just feels weird.
It does. Alex Cameron, he's a singer-songwriter. I really enjoyed his last record. It's called Miami Memory. If you don't like bad language, maybe you might skip it.
Did Pitchfork not like it? Is that what he was talking about?
They gave it like a 6 or something. He's performed at Pitchfork before, and yeah, he said that, you know, boy, they took the rug right out from under me or whatever with that review. But I really enjoy it, and yeah, he's just a charming performer. I had seen that he was coming to town. I didn't buy tickets because I thought I was working that night, but then it turned out Northwestern was playing a basketball game, so I had the night off, so I just never bought tickets. But then I looked, I'm like, oh, I'm off on Friday, we should check out the Alex Cameron show. He's playing at Thalia Hall. And then I looked and it said doors open at 10 p.m. with like 3 opening bands. I'm like, who wants to go to this? The doors first open at 10, so then you let everybody come in for an hour. The first band starts at about 10:30.
Yep.
He probably doesn't come on until midnight.
Didn't they get up at 4:55 to go run this morning?
I was like so happy to just to go to Reckless Records at 6:30 and hear 4 songs.
Yeah.
And great stories. Is he still dating
Jemima Kirk?
Jemima Kirk,
so.
From Girls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good power couple.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So we got there like we weren't sure if it was, sometimes we've gone to things at Reckless and it's been really crowded, like we weren't sure what to expect. But I said like it's freezing. I don't know who's gonna be here. And so it was a small crowd, but like we got there along with, you know, a good chunk of other people early, and we're standing, and then like right when it starts, like some kids come and stand right in front of us, and like the other couple who was standing next to us, like right in front of us, like a tall person. Yeah, they were both
male and female,
like right in front of us. And so yeah, we always talk about this, and we're just like, we just understand people not like being considerate of that. And so the idea goes to my head to be like, hey, you know, like we've been here for 30 minutes standing here. You're standing right in front of us. There's tons of room.
Yeah. Let us stand in front of you. You can see over us.
Yeah. But now I'm afraid that they're going to say like, okay, boomer to me.
You never want to be okay.
I'm not a boomer, but.
You know, you don't want to be okay, boomer. Yeah,
I don't
especially.
Don't want to be okay, boomer. I'm scared of it.
if you're not a boomer.
Yeah.
People that go to these are I would say super fans.
Oh yeah, there was that.
Because,
yeah,
you know, he was like, who's going to be at the show later tonight, which starts at midnight. Every, you know, everybody raised their hand. Molly and I were like, no, we're going to go get dinner.
I felt
home.
Like there were two types of people there. One were like the fanboys who were like singing along to everything.
It was embarrassing.
And they were dorks. they were really dorky.
Yeah, they were.
That was more embarrassing than like getting all your records signed. Yeah. And then the other type was, so it's Alex Cameron and then his partner, Roy Moore. Roy Malloy, sorry. And they're both charming. And Roy is like, when we were standing there, he came out. Like, it was funny that we were like looking at records and he just walked in like with his saxophone or whatever. And then like he came and like walked around and thanked, like shook people's hands and like thanked them for coming. And so the other part of the crowd, it was dorky boys who were singing along. And then it was like girls in their 20s who all knew Roy.
Roy's also very charming.
What is happening here? Well, I had this morning, I had a dorky fan moment where when we run on the lakefront path, there's a variety of runners out there, but there's an Olympian that runs out there, Shireen Jeem, and we see her a lot, and if she is noticeable, I mean, like there's a big step
you can
up.
Yeah.
And she's just, her body is incredible. You know, she's super fit and she's really pretty. And anyway, so we saw her. We were, my friend Amanda and I, and then her husband and our friend Sheldon were running, and we saw her walking with her dog and her husband, just like streak, like in a coat, and we're like, oh my gosh. So she's walking towards us, and Amanda and I are just like the stars in our eyes, and we see her and we're just like, good morning, hi. And I guess she was like hi, like just kind of like put her head down, hi.
Wait, so she was, where was she walking?
By like Belmont Harbor.
So she was walking on the lakefront path.
Yeah, on the lakefront
well.
Path, like walking her dog. Yeah.
So she must know that she's going to get recognized.
Because she's where the, you know, runners the runners are. And part of me wanted to be like say something to her, because I never see her where we're not like working out. Mm-hmm. But
could have stopped and see if she would have wanted to sign your shoe.
But then David and Sheldon just started cracking up, and I guess we were just like ridiculous. So we were both of us. It wasn't just me, or it wasn't just Amanda. We were both like ridiculous. And then when we turned, we saw her again, like, I don't know, 30 minutes later, and we tried to be like really cool that time, but I guess they were just like, we've never seen anything like that before. I'm just like, oh my gosh, what, how embarrassing, what did we do?
It's weird though, you probably had the best situation where you can just say hi and that's it with seeing her, as opposed to having to like chit chat. And what if she was not friendly?
Yeah,
I'm sure she would have been, but if she wasn't, then you know, your heart would be broken.
Maybe she didn't think we were being dorks. Maybe she just liked that we were, like, maybe she just appreciated our enthusiasm.
I mean, she's not super famous.
No,
by any stretch. So
yeah,
probably appreciates that, you know, that at
it's
least
a
somebody,
narrow group of people that write that like recognize her.
We'll give you like 3 minutes right now to Google who this person is.
She was in a lot of, like, she's in Nike ads. Her fame goes beyond just the lakefront path.
You went to a fun run or something with Galen Rupp. Uh-huh. Yeah, and you thought he was going to run, but he ended up not running.
Yeah.
And then you said that he was kind of a stiff.
He just didn't have much. I mean, he was fine. He just didn't have, like, a ton of personality.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like he just runs. That's it. He doesn't have to, like, have personality.
Yeah. So I felt that was disappointing. That was a disappointing
The disappointing
experience.
Thing was that he didn't run, I think. Oh. So the second thing was that it was just, like, he was, I don't know, just kind of awkward to talk to.
Yeah.
So that was one of those things where we like stood in line to take a photo with him, and then it was like awkward.
Yeah, it is. It's weird. Like when I'll leave when I go home from work, I'll walk down Lake Street to the Red Line, and if there's somebody playing at the Chicago Theater after the shows, they put up a barrier and stuff for when the artist goes out to their tour bus, and there's always people out there waiting for pictures or something, and I always get sad for them. Like, really? And not young, like young kids, that's fine, you know, like,
no, Chicago Theater, it's gonna be an older crowd.
You know, it's like, yeah,
because like who would be there, like Brian Ferry or something yeah. like that. They're waiting to.
Yeah, I think actually that Brian Ferry was one that I had seen. Because like if you're 16, 18, 20, even like in your 20s or whatever, you know, I guess it's fine.
But they just look at those people in line and say, okay, boomer.
when you're in your 40s and you're waiting in line for somebody to sign yeah. your record, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not cool. Speaking of not cool, we'll do one more quick update and then we'll get to this movie. So the other really cool thing we've been doing is we've gotten suckered into another contest at Orange Theory. And you might say to yourself, I've heard this before. And I've heard that your regrets about signing up for something else. Well, here we are again.
So they had this contest where they said, post something on your Instagram stories about health, wellness, Orange Theory, mm-hmm. tag us on that post, mm-hmm. and then at the end of the day, we're going to post the best 10, yep. and at the end of the week, we're going to choose a winner of this challenge, and then that winner would be the OTF ambassador for the following week, which means you would be able to post on the Orange Theory Edgewater's Instagram page for the week, and you'd also get free stuff.
Yeah.
Sweatshirts and t-shirts and towels and whatnot. And you might think to yourself, yeah, so?
I have 3 times as many followers as Orange Theory. Or Orange Theory.
And I feel anytime there's a challenge of any sort, you want to get involved.
Well, I thought it sounded fun. I thought somebody we'd be, you know, I think you're really good at Instagram stories. And yeah, I just thought it sounded like a fun, I don't know, it sounded creative.
Yeah.
And
yeah. It's something
like
new.
A fun challenge. And you could tell by the amount, like, we're going to narrow it down to 10 stories that they were anticipating a lot of stories.
Yeah. And that's what we were anticipating. Like, after the first 3 days.
At first, I was like, oh my gosh, they shared mine.
Yeah. After the first 3 days, it was just me, you, and one other person have been doing it. So I'm going to be really mad if this other person wins the OTF.
Well, do you think they're going to be like, okay, if we pick Molly, that's not fair to Pete. If we pick Pete, that's not fair to Molly. We've got to pick this other person because it's the only fair thing to do. I think they need to pick us together. We've got a bunch of people campaigning for us now.
And I wasn't really that even into it. It'd be fun to get the free stuff. But a lot of times the free stuff ends up being disappointing. It's like a leftover towel from, you know, Augie's Quest. Water bottle that has a crack in it.
One of those, like, rubber bracelets.
Yeah. An orange squeezy ball, yeah, you know. Yeah. When I started competing or, you know, contributing, I was thinking, like, oh, it's going to be a really cool OTF sweater or a sweatshirt or something I could wear during the winter.
Yeah.
And I guess we don't know. We don't know. I'm just used to the disappointment, so I shouldn't.
You were also saying you didn't want to win because you didn't want to have to take over the feed for a week.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to. To be honest, the amount of time that I spent.
How did we get here?
The amount of time I spent this week on tagging Orange Theory and the brain power.
I'm thinking, like, are people, like, so confused? Like, why are they posting these things? Like, are people confused about our Instagrams this week? They're really obsessed with Orange Theory this week.
Yeah, Justin, like, mentioned, he's like, oh, you're in, like, really competing this week. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's something different. And I couldn't even really explain to him. His son was there. I was embarrassed for myself.
He already teases you for doing competitive exercise.
So if I would put half as much effort into my own Instagram, I would probably build it better, but I'm obsessed with trying to get this OTF ambassadorship, which means nothing.
And people keep coming up to us like, I really like your stories. I'm just like, I'm so embarrassed. I can't stop myself.
But you're competitive and you want to win. I feel that, and by me being next to you, by some sort of osmosis, uh-huh. I all of a sudden became competitive with it. Because again, I didn't really care. Because initially you were like, oh yeah, you were going to do it. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. It seems dumb. Then, you know,
it is dumb.
Sure enough.
You should have gone with your first instinct. I'm so happy it's over.
Well, it made me just starting.
the difference is that it's over for me on my feed. Like, if I take over their feed, that's kind of fun. Like, to, you just, you're just, then when you take over their feed, you're just supposed to post like your just like daily life or whatever. So I don't feel the, there's intention behind it in a way that, like, now it just seems like a weird thing that's in my stories.
My daily life is not exciting at all. Why would I want to post that to them?
You'll probably be the only person, if like one of us gets it, like if I got it, you would be the only person that would be watching the stories anyway, and vice versa.
This afternoon we were, well, I was watching the Bears game downstairs. You were upstairs watching documentary.
Game Changers.
We just were texting each other back and forth and commenting on each other's Instagram stories from one floor away from each other.
I'm sure that's not uncommon. Okay, let's talk about this Christmas movie.
All right, A Picture Perfect Christmas. No, what was it called?
Picture a Perfect Christmas. That's right. It's nice. It was just nice.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything great. It was just one of those pleasant ones,
yeah.
Right? There wasn't anything like crazy in it.
No, yeah.
They had like good chemistry. It was just like a pleasant, vanilla, pleasant mm-hmm. one. Whatever. Nothing.
It was very vanilla. Except for Ross, yeah. Who we talked
yeah.
about later.
Yeah. So it was very Canadian. Mm-hmm. It starred Merritt Patterson and John Corr. mm-hmm. Household names, but maybe in Canada. Everyone was Canadian. That was in it as I was looking people up. Just the whole thing felt Canadian. So it's, but it starts in San Francisco because we see a shot of the, you know, we see in the credits, like they spend the whole credits showing like a city that then it doesn't take place in.
Yeah.
So we see all these shots of San Francisco at Christmas, and we meet Sophie, who's a photographer, and she's finishing up a shoot, and she's talking to her agent, and her agent's talking to her about a potential job in Switzerland and the Alps for like a ski company, and they talk about how she's a workaholic and like she's going to have some time off. That shoot is not going to be until January, and I guess this is like 2 weeks before Christmas mm-hmm. at this point. So she's going to have a few weeks off, and she can have some work-life balance.
Yeah.
She's mm-hmm. a workaholic. She's not good at having balance in her life. She can actually like go and enjoy Christmas. So now we cut to Bainbridge Island, Washington, which is
it an island?
Yeah, Bainbridge Island.
Oh.
It's near Seattle, and I looked it up, like it's, you can drive there, but you can take a ferry, and the ferry takes like 45 minutes, and to drive there, it takes like almost 2 hours. And so we meet David and his nephew, Troy. They're at one of those coffee shops that they're in these movies where they're all kind of, it's like full of knickknacks. It's not like, you know, coffee shops now all look the same. They're like white subway tile, like industrial lighting, a plant, a board, like a blackboard with the white letters. Like mm-hmm. they all kind of look the same,
yeah.
But not in Hallmark movies. Are like junky wood mm-hmm. plastic tablecloths, the mugs that don't match,
yeah,
like Christmas mugs that don't match, that look like they came from the thrift store. Like, this is what coffee shops look like in Hallmark movies. They're talking about how like Troy needs a nanny for Christmas break. He doesn't like anybody. He just wants to like hang out with at their neighbor's house. So Troy is, the little boy is played by Joey, who you might remember from when we reviewed Miss Christmas, the one about the woman in Chicago who is in charge of the tree lighting. So Joey is the kid that sends her a letter, a fake kid's letter, to come back to him and his dad or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I like this kid though. He's a good actor. We were watching the one with Rachel Lee Cook. We've watched like 15 minutes of it twice. So, and there's a kid in it she just looks like an executive at Hallmark wanted his daughter or granddaughter yeah. or something in it. It's like this weird, like not cute kid that can't act, and they have to dub all of her lines are dubbed in.
Yeah. This kid's pretty good. Yeah. Although he is not good at drinking the fake hot chocolate that they have him set up with. In that first scene where David and Troy are together, mm-hmm. the Murphy men,
yeah.
they're drinking hot chocolate, and Troy's hot chocolate is filled with marshmallows,
uh-huh.
and he drinks it, and the marshmallows don't move.
They drink a lot of hot chocolate in this movie.
Yeah.
They're always having hot chocolate, and there's one time that he drinks it, and it like he like laughs or something, and the whipped cream explodes on his face, and his face is completely covered in whipped cream.
Yeah.
That's a lot of whipped cream.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they're talking about like who's going to take care of him over while David has to work over Christmas.
Yeah,
break.
Board reports. He's got a lot of board reports that he needs to get done before Christmas.
So now we cut back to Sophie, and she's with her. She's meeting her boyfriend for dinner. This guy, did he look familiar to you? The boyfriend actor.
He reminded me of an uglier version of the redheaded doctor on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, yeah, younger and with weirder teeth.
I didn't find him attractive.
No.
Appealing.
He was felt toxic
yeah.
to me, which I
yeah.
guess the other boyfriend usually does feel kind of toxic. I was looking it up because to me, he just looked like, I feel like this guy always plays a soldier in something. Like if you're watching like a war thing
yeah.
and there's like the minor soldiers that like die or whatever, I feel like he always plays
the minor soldier who dies. Yeah.
But he's Canadian and he's been in a bunch of Hallmark movies. So
oh,
that
really?
Must be how we know him.
Yeah. See, yeah. He's a mouth breather.
He's also a photographer and he has a big assignment like with a band or something, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's there, like, she's decided that she's gonna, you know, go see her grandmother for Christmas or whatever. She's gonna celebrate Christmas. I'm not sure what point this is at, but mm-hmm. and she wants him to come with her, but he's gonna go on this assignment instead. And she's just like, what, you know, like, so it's starting to go through her head, like, we're always like apart, we're never together.
Yeah, because she's a busy photographer.
Yeah.
You know, her job takes her across the world as well.
So Troy is hanging out with the neighbor, Mrs. Griffith, an older woman who lives next door. She has a hairline fracture in her foot. She must have been marathon training. And he's helping her, like, walk her dog. She has a cute dog named Riggs, this little dog that does a lot of good acting in this movie. And he's helping her set up her tree. And he finds a photo, like an ornament with a photo. And he's like, oh, who is this? It's Sophie. Sophie is Mrs. Griffith's granddaughter. Mm-hmm. We find out Mrs. Griffith says, like, Sophie is a nomad, that she's always traveling for work. We find out that her parents, Sophie's parents, live in Spain and they're both doctors.
Yeah.
So like the family is spread mm-hmm. far and wide. So Sophie calls her grandmother. She's like not sure what she's gonna do with Christmas. She's looking at, like, she's just like in her apartment in San Francisco with like a sad little fake tree, and it's, she's getting nostalgic for her grandmother and Christmases. So she calls her and they talk, and she finds out that the grandmother has a broken foot. So she's like, I'm gonna come and spend Christmas with you and help like take care of you. So she's gonna come up. So David has hired a nanny, or he's going to interview a nanny from like an agency. He's waiting for her. Sophie comes to Bainbridge Island, and they live in a block where it just looks like the Hallmark movies, where they look very new construction. I feel like the outside of the grandmother's house didn't match the inside of the grandmother's house. It looked like an old house from the outside. It looked like a brand new house from the inside. Like the sets didn't match up. And David's busy waiting for that nanny show up. He's also doing some app business. So he has a job where he's created apps, and
I found him to be creepy as well. His face is, he kind of looks like a vampire maybe, or
like he looks like a mannequin sort of.
His face is weird, his teeth are weird, he's got like
a weird
splotchy beard.
Weird hair, like kind of, I don't know, yeah, weird hair.
Purple
too.
Shirts always tucked in.
He sort of looks like somebody who would be in a soap opera in like the early 80s. But I sort of liked them together, though.
Oh, he looked like he was somebody that used to be in a jam band, but then somehow ended up inventing...
Creating an app.
Yeah, creating an app.
So it turns out that, like, we find this out at some point, that Troy's parents had died in a car accident like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. David had taken custody of him. David had a successful tech business in Seattle, and then they moved out to Bainbridge Island for like a better place for Troy to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
But I can never figure out did David move his whole business to Bainbridge Island? Because he always talks about, like, sometimes he's in the office, sometimes he's just like at home working on, like, Skyping into a meeting, but then he goes to the office. And so I was thinking, like, oh, maybe he takes the ferry into Seattle and goes to the office. That doesn't seem like that would be too far-fetched.
I feel like the main business, he lived in Bainbridge and the main business was still in Seattle.
Well, they made a reference, so he was in the office at some point, and they made a reference to being in Bainbridge Island, like, at some point. So I was confused throughout the movie of where the office was. It would make sense for it to be in Seattle.
Yeah. He also had a really sweet home office. This is like a tiny little room with like one like word computer that only does word things.
Yeah, it was like
and then another computer that
it was so weird. Like it sort of looked like an iPad, like an Android version of an iPad with like a stand, or like, you know, there were those like laptops for a long time that like flipped over.
Yeah.
That were just like a screen with a keyboard, and it was like that. But yeah, it would just be like a black screen with like the like green whatever when you the computer that you worked on when you were like in elementary. If you're 40 years old,
yeah,
the computer
right.
that you worked on in elementary school is yeah. like what the screen looked like.
Yeah, it wasn't connected to anything other than he could type on it.
It was just like a digital notepad,
yeah.
sort of. So when Sophie gets into town, the grandmother's already starting like her matchmaking with between Sophie and David, and sends Sophie over to David's house on the false pretense of like returning Troy's hat mm-hmm. to him. And then we have like, there's like a case of mistaken identity. David just assumes that it's the nanny, and he's so rude. Mm-hmm. Like, why would that be okay if it was the nanny?
Yeah.
So the nanny's running late, so he's annoyed.
Yeah.
But still, he's so rude to her. And so it's like, oh, haha, I just thought it was the nanny, so it's okay that I was being so rude to you. So I would say that, you know, I would call that their meat gross.
Yeah.
So Sophie's going to take Riggs, the dog, for a walk, and Troy wants to come along because he loves Riggs. So Sophie starts taking photos, and she takes these like photos of like Troy and Riggs together. So there's a device in this movie where things will just be, action will be going along, and all of a sudden it's like a camera click, and you get like a jaunty photo.
When Troy was helping the grandma with her Christmas decorations, and he noticed the Christmas decoration with Sophie on it. Grandma's like, oh, Sophie, you know, it's my granddaughter. You know, she's a photographer. She's done all these wonderful photographs, and all these photographs are terrible.
Did you notice that the way the photos were hung, they were framed, and they were hung to the edge of the wall? Did you notice that?
No.
It was so weird. Like the door opening, the photos were hung all the way to the corner of the door opening. Odd choice.
I just thought they were really generic, like a black and white photo of the Eiffel Tower
yeah.
or something. Like, yeah. oh yeah, she's a spectacular photographer. She also had a funny business card that she handed to David. It was just her name and like the Instagram logo.
So the nanny finally shows up. David answers the door, and it's like, how would you, the millennial nanny who's yeah. just like looking at her phone, and then she might have been chewing gum.
I think she too. Was chewing gum and looking at her phone.
He's just like, no, and just like closes the door. But it's just funny that this is how are kids these days?
Because he opens the door and she's like, hi, when can I start?
Mm-hmm.
Like she, assuming that she's got the job right away. And
yeah.
then when he says, no, I'm not going to hire you, she's like, okay. And she just like turns around. And
she's looking at her phone
yeah,
the whole time.
She doesn't yeah. care.
So that as they walk, they happen upon a like the Christmas pageant that's taking place in like in some type of like industrial garage building. And they get approached by the director, who's very enthusiastic and encourages Troy to try out for it. And while they're, you know, on this outing, David is working on his digital notepad. And he has a document open called app ideas. So he's struggling to come up with a new app, and this is for a Christmas app. So is this for like this year, this is a Christmas app, or is it for like
it's
next
the week
year?
Before Christmas, and he's gonna come up with an app that's gonna be sold the next day. It's just so funny. It's app ideas in all caps, underlined, and then these are his app ideas. Don't eat alone at Christmas. Christmas podcast navigator. Christmas tree donations.
I hope we'd make the Christmas podcast navigator list.
Christmas music finder.
Yeah.
Holiday helper. Christmas Cupid. Santa's recipe cookbook and more. Christmas travel 101. A holly jolly Christmas wardrobe app. The perfect present wrapper. Christmas coupons galore. Rudolph's Rockin' Music Stations. And the Happy Christmas Elf.
I feel like these are also like a list of like a Good Morning America or Today Show or one of those things that they would like, that they, the producers come up with. Like, what are the Christmas segments we're going to do?
Yeah.
This list.
Yeah, that's totally what it is. These are not app ideas. These are Today Show segments.
So he's striking out with nannies. So Sophie offers to keep Troy during the day so he can work. You know, he feels guilty about that, but she's like, I really enjoy it, and obviously he likes us, and my grandmother likes him, and it's So anyway, it will be fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I wasn't really a big fan of the grandmother.
Me neither. She was
very pushy.
Pushy. That's the perfect word.
Nosy.
Yeah. Yeah. She just thought she knew best about everything.
Yeah.
Like, put a lot of guilt trips on Sophie.
Yeah.
Like, if this was like your grandfather and I, like, she doesn't like Brent, the boyfriend, and, you know, like, fine, let Sophie date Brent, whatever. Like,
yeah, not... they were dating for 6 months.
Yeah.
They're still figuring things out.
He's successful.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And everything has to be compared to, you know, like,
yeah,
with your grandfather. I also noticed.
She's like, I would have given up my whole career after the first week with my husband. I'm like,
yeah,
would you have?
Yeah. What was your career?
Something that involved smoking, I'm sure, because she's like, what she sounded.
She had a craggy like? Smoker's face, too.
Yeah.
Weird
eyeliner.
I kept anticipating that there was going to be a love connection between her and the Christmas pageant director.
Yes.
Did you feel that,
kinda,
too?
They kind of set
they
that up.
They had some vibes, but then it never...
Yeah, it never materialized.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, this is sweet.
Asks her a lunch or something, but then nothing ever comes of it. So it's like they forgot that. They're like orange.
They ran out of time.
So they all go get a tree for David and Troy. And so another thing happened that's happened in Hallmark movies where somebody has a lot of tree knowledge.
Yeah.
Like book knowledge about trees.
Yeah.
And so Sophie knows like a lot about, she's done a shoot for a tree or something, but she knows like the Douglas fir is blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And the whatever pine is better.
They lose needles. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we've heard verbatim. Mm-hmm. I can't, what movie is that? Do you remember what movie that was that the person knew like about trees and like was taken verbatim from whatever that movie was?
Yeah.
It's one that we've done that somebody knew a lot about trees.
It didn't take them long to find a tree. It's essentially right where they were standing. They're like, okay, let's take this big tall one. They didn't go search.
Then they had a dumb snow fight.
Yeah.
And with like Brady Bunch music playing over it. Did you notice that?
And their snowballs are never good.
No. Well, they're fake snow.
They're not real balls. They explode upon throwing them. A lackluster snowball fight.
So they go inside to have cocoa, of course, because that's what they do in this movie. And while they're having the cocoa, a woman comes in, and Jody Hall, was that her name? For some reason, they kept saying her full name over and over again. It was Jody something, but
I don't think I wrote it.
Like, this is, we don't need all this information. He's like, that was Jody Hall, my ex. I'm like, so this was his girlfriend when he took Troy in, and they broke up because she didn't want to like deal with having this kid around or whatever. I didn't feel like we necessarily needed her in the story. Did you?
No.
Yeah.
No. Maybe just to point out how annoying Troy is. She couldn't deal with him.
Well, or maybe like the sacrifices David had made or that everybody would be willing to like take that or was the right fit or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they get the tree, they head back, and the tree's on top of the car, and as they're like starting to unload it, Sophie gets a phone call from her agent, who is just sitting in a like in an office on like a hands-free headphone headset thing all the time, because that's what agents do. And she got the job in Switzerland, and so that's exciting, and they're like celebrating, maybe they're hugging or something.
Yeah.
And when that happens, Brent appears, the boyfriend,
and she's like, what are you doing here? And the band he's shooting is
in Seattle
that night or whatever. Yeah. So he shows up.
So Brent stays for dinner, and he's loud and annoying and mansplaining about things, and there's lots of looks, like the grandmother's giving dirty looks, there's like eyes between David and Sophie, just like a lot of looks that happen, like when David leaves he like stares at Sophie for a long time, just lots of looks. And then Sophie ends up breaking up with Brent.
Yeah.
She just feels like, I don't even totally remember the reasons how like invested I felt in them. Just that, like, she felt like she just didn't feel like it was right that it was not going to work.
They're never going to be together.
Yeah. Yeah. And she wanted more. I think that's what she said.
Yeah.
That she wants more.
She's going to continue to be a photographer traveling. He's going to still be a successful photographer. They're just never going to be together. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing here?
So being around Troy, she's realizing like, oh, maybe I do want a family.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to do that with little teeth Brent. The grandma's really happy about this. It's like, I told you so, I knew it. And she talks, she says some more business about her grandfather or whatever, and then She tells Sophie, once again, it comes up that Sophie needs more balance mm-hmm. in her life. So now Sophie's trying to figure out, like, how do I travel? Do I have to give up my career to have, like, the family yeah. that I want?
And she talked to her agent about it. You know, hey, she doesn't have to live in San Francisco because she travels a lot. She can base herself out of Bainbridge, mm-hmm. but the agent's like, you know, but you have to be where the action is.
Yeah.
You know that you might lose out on things if you're in Bainbridge as opposed to being in San Francisco.
Seems like it might be hard to base yourself out of Bainbridge too if you have to take like a seaplane every time you're
yeah,
going.
That's true.
I like when I come across like a note I've written at some point in the movie. I don't really remember writing it, but I enjoy it. I wrote, not much to this movie. Pretty standard, not a lot. And it's not, just pretty, a five across, steady five across.
One of my notes is, it just in quotes, go wash up your hands.
He says, go wash up your hands. You've been out all day.
Yeah. Isn't it just go wash your hands? Why do you have to wash up your hands? It sounded weird to me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Canadian.
Yeah.
Go wash up your hands. You've been out all day.
So the next day, Ross shows up. Ross is David's business partner, and he's the only minority in this movie.
Yeah.
Once again, they're not going to change the leads.
Ross, he knows that David, it's probably about time for David to get into the dating game. So
yeah.
he's kind of asking David questions about Sophie, and he can
she's cute.
Yeah, and he can kind of tell that maybe there's some chemistry there. They like each other. And he pointed out to Sophie that David was 2014's best business bachelor in Seattle. 2014's best business bachelor.
In Seattle Magazine. This is when she talks to her agent, too. And so the agent has like been talking to Brent. Did you
just say? Right. Yeah.
The agent's been talking to Brent, and she's got Brent spilled the tea on the breakup. So she knew like everything, which I felt was like not.
How are you calling?
Brent, that's not your, your place to tell Sophie's story. So yeah, Brent continued his toxic streak. And so they, after like the rehearsal, they're coming back. They're going to decorate David and Troy's house, and they are pulling out the ornaments and are looking for the ornaments or yeah. decorating the house. And why are the tree toppers always so ugly in Hallmark movies? They're always so bad. This one's yeah. really bad, too.
Yeah.
yeah.
He's got a huge house. He has one small box of decorations. This box is going to have to go a long way
to magic box.
decorate this
Man,
house.
Man, those tree toppers are always really
yeah.
bad.
Well, this tree topper is very significant
mm-hmm.
because it was the dead parents,
yeah.
Troy's parents, Ben and Lisa, Ben and Beth and Ben. I don't know. It was the tree topper.
He
carried some weight.
Yeah. Sophie and David go up to like a spare bedroom to look for things, and he's got some boxes that he hasn't gone through, and it seems like it's like Troy's parents' mm-hmm. stuff, which as we know from the last movie we did, there's always like boxes from the dead person and they find something in them. So we find out some things. This is another one of those points where I wasn't I found my mind wandering a bit, because he tells in while they're going through these, we find out about like when they died, and we also find out that like David grew up poor.
Yeah.
To
He's a fan of toy drives.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have opportunities to have gifts a lot, so their family relied on toy drives when he was growing up.
Yeah. Which is sweet, but I don't know, somehow. Riggs is there. Like, I think like one day they shot a bunch of reaction shots with Riggs, and then they just like sprinkle them throughout. Riggs turning his head side to side. So there's some Riggs shots. They are still watching Mrs. Griffith and Sophie are still watching Troy, and David is not expecting them to, but they're still volunteering to, and he's really appreciative because he has a business lunch, but it's not really a business lunch. It's with Jody Hall.
Yeah.
So they make Troy and Sophie and the grandmother make cookies together. So, you know, check that off your, mm-hmm. if you've got make cookies on your
card.
Bingo card, yeah. you can check that off. He has lunch with Jody, and he finds out that she's engaged. She's moved to Bain. So she's totally like, well, I mean, you know, she's just, again, grown up a little bit and maybe found the right person. So now she's getting married to a guy that has a daughter, and they live in on Bainbridge Island.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
So now, and if you have a go ice skating indoors on your bingo card, we also can check that off. So they go ice skating indoors, of course.
It's weird, too, because it just doesn't happen. He just actually says, like, hey, I have a sudden urge to go ice skating.
So after the ice skating, they go back to David and Troy's house. They're doing a puzzle. And I guess Troy goes to bed or something, and they danced, like, Sophie and David danced a very cloying, like, sound alike. Yeah. Like, how would you describe that song?
It's just like a Michael Bublé light FM Christmas song.
Yeah, but it sounded old, like vintagey though too. She's like, this is like my favorite song. And they almost kiss, which happens in these movies a lot, mm-hmm. as we know. There's always a lot of almost kissed. He has figured out what his app is going to be.
Yeah.
So this app is about finding ways to give back at Christmas, toy mm-hmm. drives, etc. And Ross is really excited about it. And he's like, and they talk about how Sophie was his muse for mm-hmm. this great idea.
The Christmas giving app.
Yeah.
Would have thought. I like to give at Christmas.
Of course, you may not have seen this coming, but the shoot has been moved up. She has to leave. So the shoot's going to be the day after Christmas, which uh-huh. seems weird and unlikely. And so she needs to get there in time and get everything ready. She needs to leave on the 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Which I believe is the night of the day of the pageant.
It is, yeah. So she's got to leave, and everyone is sad and mad, like upset with her. They have, you know, a sad goodbye, like kind of an yeah. abrupt goodbye.
The grandma's very demeaning to her.
Yeah.
She would be, how dare her to choose her career and her success over
yeah.
the next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Who she just met. She puts together like an email of all the photos, the highlights of the photos that she's taken
yeah.
while she's there, and emails it to David.
It was like a slideshow.
Yeah. It was very like 10 years ago? Was that like a thing, like iPhoto and you make a slideshow?
Yeah, that's right. It was, like, so old.
Yeah.
Maybe on his computer.
That will show up on his computer.
Yeah, that's the only thing that would show up.
Yeah, she doesn't computer. Like, she's not very into technology though. Like, that's touched on a bit. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't like using like a phone for cameras. And so she's sort of anti-tech a little bit.
His email was david@ascensioninvention.com.
That actually seems like what his company would be called. She's on her way, you know, like taking a taxi to the airport or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they are going to the Christmas pageant, and they make her a Christmas card at the pageant because there's like some crafts going on. So they want to, because they didn't really get a proper goodbye. So they're going to make this card and pass it on to the grandmother
yeah.
to get it to her. The pageant director comes to Troy and says, the kid that's playing... So in the pageant, I guess we didn't talk about this. In the pageant, Troy was cast as a reindeer number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get the lead. So the director...
His audition was terrible.
He had like total stage fright.
He had one line. He was fumbling with the script.
So of course, that's how you'd go to, we need to replace the lead, who's not, like, not, you know, practiced it at all. So he fills in as the lead, and he asks the director, but what's going to happen with reindeer number 5? And he's like, the director's like, I've got that taken care of. What's it going to be? David goes outside because he needs some air from all of this business. And lo and behold, who shows up but Sophie comes back. So when the grandmother sees Sophie, she's like, Sophie, you're back. Like, doesn't really like ask her anything about what's going on, what she's thinking. And she hands her the card. And so the card does not disappoint. So the card is like David, Troy, like the whole family, I guess. And well, not the grandmother. I don't think the grandmother's in it. I think it's just David, Troy, Sophie, and the dog.
And
the
Rich.
Dog made
yeah.
it. Yeah.
They don't like the grandma either. No,
they're going to steal the dog. But the card is frightening, and it's like they have huge... They look like jack-o'-lanterns. Like, they have huge smiles. It doesn't look anything like them. But it doesn't look like a kid... Yeah, it looks like a production assistant made it. It doesn't look like a kid made it. It looks like a production assistant trying to make a kid's card. It doesn't look like an adult made it. I don't know. It's
yeah.
scary. It's not good. But it's one of the, like... It's one of the standouts in this five, steady five of a movie. It's definitely one of the standouts.
And the note... that was inside the card. Did Troy write it?
No, David did.
Because the printing, the handwriting looked like an 8-year-old boy was the one that wrote it.
No, it was David, because I felt like it was a little too intimate. It was like weird to come from both of them. Like, I don't know. Okay. There was something about it that creeped me out. Yeah. Yeah. Sophie goes out and finds David getting air, and they're on like a little, whatever, some steps outside.
Sophie is, when she's on their way to the airport, she sees an ornament was exactly the same as the ornament.
The tree topper.
Yeah, she's the tree topper. Excuse me. She sees a tree topper that was exactly the one that Troy and David
The ugly
had.
Tree topper.
Yeah. And that's what...
It was a sign.
That's what propelled her to go back.
Again, you don't put tree toppers and ornaments on outside trees. I don't... So weird. It's so ugly. Like, of all things.
It's really ugly.
Like, she didn't see, like, a dad with a son looking happy or whatever. No, she saw the creepy tree. Here I am again. Ew. All right, so... They're standing out there together and they kiss. But the best part of this movie is that, you know, she's like, okay, I'm back, and she's trying to figure it out, and she said that good news, the ski company, like this, when she had talked to her agent worked it out so that they moved the shoot back to January, which if they want her, they would do that. Mm-hmm. And, like, the last month, they're not going to get somebody else either. So she's going to be able to go in January. It's all going to work out. And he is excited for her. And she's like, really? You're excited for me? He's like, yes, I want you to keep working. Like, we'll figure this out. I'm like, thank you. Finally, Hallmark movie. She doesn't have to like give up her city life dreams and just move to the boring small town. Like, she can still keep doing what she's doing.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to give up those ambitions for Christmas.
But David also invited him and Troy to go with her.
She's like, oh, you're gonna come with me. Great. So now they're sitting in the audience watching the pageant, and we only see a little bit of the pageant, I guess.
I hope so.
I didn't understand what the pageant was. But Santa comes and gets in the sleigh, and Riggs is there. Riggs is one of the reindeer, and I was like, oh, cute Riggs. And then I realized, like, wait, oh, Riggs is reindeer number 5. Yeah. Oh, this is who they replaced him with. That's good.
And apparently Troy's role, the lead role, was sleeping the whole time on a chair or something. Yeah. And then saying Merry Christmas and to all a good night. That was his one line.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even get that in the audition. He did nail it in this pageant, though, I will say.
Yeah.
He nailed that one line.
And I enjoyed Riggs being the reindeer. Riggs was good in this.
Yeah, Riggs was good.
And then they all spend Christmas together. We're like looking in through the window of the grandmother's house, and they're all standing in a weird way, right? I was like, this is kind of weird, but maybe it looks good for a photo. But it was like where the two taller people are standing in the back and then the two shorter people are standing in the front. Like, you wouldn't be arranged that way. Does that seem weird? Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it. The
credits
end.
Roll.
Picture a perfect Christmas.
So we are going to do, I know like people have been asking about if we're going to announce the next one we're going to do. So the one that
we've got a few to choose from. So I guess we need to commit to one.
The one that
or everyone can, you have to watch all of these.
And be surprised by what we choose. The one that the maintenance worker from Chicago is coming up, I believe, next weekend.
Next Saturday,
right?
Yeah.
But there's
the Kelly Pickler one's on tonight.
Yeah, maybe we should do the Kelly Pickler one.
I do enjoy a Kelly Pickler one.
Let's soft commit. Subject to change at last minute, because I know how you get 10 minutes in.
We were going to do the scavenger hunt one this week, which is a really good one. So I recommend watching Scavenger Hunt Christmas.
We also, because last week we mentioned 9 Lives of Christmas, so hopefully people didn't watch 9 Lives of Christmas.
I don't think we talked about Scavenger Hunt. It was our plan. But then when it came down to that, we'd have to watch, because we just casually watched it without taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, this is really good. We should do this one. And then I was like, oh, I can't watch it again.
Tentatively, we'll do the Kelly Pickler one, but maybe that'll change.
There's some good ones coming up. So yeah, next Saturday is the one with Jesse Metcalf, the construction worker one, and then the one on Sunday, I don't know. Anyway, is that looks like a good one. All-star cast.
Yeah, somebody.
Chad Michael Murray.
Yes, yeah, Chad
somebody
Michael
else
Murray.
Too.
Scavenger Hunt Christmas, was that the one with Tom Arnold?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I mean, that's...
It's good. Maybe we need to squeeze that one in. It's really good. I need to, yeah. Picture Perfect Christmas is fine. It's pleasant. I could actually watch it again if it was on.
Yeah.
This is fine, but it's not, you know, it's not as good for the podcast, this one. it has an ugly, you know, it's got a cute dog and an ugly tree topper, but Scavenger Hunt Christmas is chock full of things I want to talk about. Yeah. So
that'll come up at some point between now and Christmas.
Dylan Lapp is the star.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll bring you a new episode of Orange Theory discussion and Christmas.
You'll find out if one of us made an Orange Theory ambassador next month. There's a light in your head.
We're